Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
I'm going to share right now the message that I was going to share on New Year's Eve. And so here's my New Year's Eve message, which is extremely fitting on this first Sunday. In the year 2025, the Lord helped us. The Lord has helped us. But now in the year 2026, would you purpose to give thanks to the Lord? Would you make that your purpose, give thanks to the Lord. In everything, at all times, give thanks to the Lord. So I want to share with you, I was struggling because I'm starting a new series in the book of Corinthians. And when I was preparing in the fall, I went, this is fitting for New Year's Eve, although I would start it on the Sunday. And yet it ended up, I am starting it on the Sunday. So the book of Corinthians will be our preaching guide for this year, with the exception of some special Sundays. And I begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to read in a moment from verse 4 to 9. But it begins with Paul saying this in verse 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and from our brother Sosthenes. I'm writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Paul, give thanks to God. Verse 4 will be on the screen. And we begin, these are the passages I will preach from today. I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's 1 Corinthians. Our theme this year will be zeal for the Lord's house must consume me. I begin with this message today, give thanks to the Lord. And there are some foundational and essential facts for rising up as Christians whom God has called us to become. And it's listed in these passages. See, God calls us to be and to do what God requires of us as we daily strive for godliness. God has not called us to be and to do what we want. He's called us to be and to do according to his goodwill and his good purpose. And so 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4 to 9, and I'll skip through these passages. I'll share these different ones. Verse 4 says, I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Friends, you realize that because God chose us, we belong to him. And I can give God thanks for every one of you here and every one of you online because you're a gift of God. You're not happenstance. You're not luck. You're a gift of God. But God also gives us gifts, and the gifts that God has given us are not just materialistic. The world is causing us to think that the greatest gifts are material things. Material things will corrode, hay and stubble. Everything will burn up. But the greatest and most lifelong lasting gifts are the spiritual gifts which we have received. Has anyone received the spiritual gifts of God beginning with salvation? Those are the greatest gift. We're blessed to be called and appointed by God. And such a deep call is not from other humans. Human being didn't call you. Someone might have brought you to the church, but they didn't call you. Someone might have told you about Christ, but they didn't call you. When God calls, he calls from the deep. The Bible says deep calls to deep. He calls from the heavenly realms into our spirit. So don't ever subject your life to another human. No human being can call us into the eternal promises. No human being can fulfill our lives forever or grant us the privileges that God has given us or release us from the empty void, the internally emotionless lives that we lived until Christ came in and filled us with his goodness and his glory. God alone chooses who he calls, and God alone calls who he chooses. He calls, he chooses. He chooses, he calls. What a privilege. Both our calling and the promises of God, these are privileges. They're not just given rights. I demand that God does this for me. It's a lot of people not even serving in the house of God, not becoming a part of the kingdom work, not even coming to the church to become a part of the body because they have issues with God. I'm shocked because we cannot have issue with the Creator, because the Creator, there's a lot of issues he can have with us, but he chooses to forgive us. John 15:16 says, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." There's a lot of people using God's name and demanding from God, but they forget that God is the one that chooses and he's the one that appoints. But what did he appoint us to? He appointed us to lasting fruit. I've got to ask the believers today, those who have given their hearts to the Lord, now walking with the Lord, are you producing lasting fruit? Because there's a lot of folks been on the Christian journey a long time, but there's no fruits. Jesus cursed the fig tree that didn't produce. And I want to remind us, we're called by God for a purpose. That's the opening sentence of this year. God does not call us because we're better than others. Absolutely not. In fact, he reminds us to never think of ourselves in such a high-minded manner. It says in Philippians 2:3-4, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. That's what we're called to do. Take an interest in others. If your interest is only your particular family, you're not producing lasting fruits. You have a few fruits on the tree, but lasting fruit goes to generations that are even outside of your realm. God simply calls, and then he demonstrates to us his mighty working of power, grace, goodness, favor, kindness, and the mercies of God, which are new every morning. Oh, come on, folks. It's a joy to know who my God is. So I encourage you, be sober-minded and thankful about God's call on your life. Can I just deposit that to you in this 2026 year? Be sober-minded. Don't think too highly of yourself. Don't think so lowly of yourself. Just be sober-minded. Be thankful, and God's call is on your life. I have to justly say, Pastor Jason and I texted him. I said, "You ratted me out." Yes, those that are laughing were here on New Year's Eve. Because he told everyone that he'd never heard me so happy. Well, when the ambulance picked me up and they put morphine in there, it makes you quite happy. So when I called him, I said, "You ratted me out." My family said, what are you on? And I don't know, whatever they gave me, but I feel better. I haven't taken any of it since, folks. I've told them no. I honestly, I have told them no. I will not take it. But folks, be sober-minded. It's not a time to use up all the things of the world to fill yourself. Be sober-minded, because the more you give thanks to God, the more you'll see how God's call is being worked out on your life. The church is God's foundational establishment for all communities to come to know who Christ is. All communities. Bible says in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 1, through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church that has just come into Christ, and he's saying, you've got eloquence and you've got knowledge, but it is God who's enriched your church. Friends, I want to see Pickering Pentecostal Church explode, not for pride, but for the glory of God over Durham, over Ontario, and over Canada. But this church is not just the church of Pickering or Ajax or Whitby or Oshawa or Bowmanville or any other city in the region of Durham. No, this church has been birthed by God, and it belongs to God. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The writer of Corinthians says the church is the church of God. A body, listen to this, what the church is. The church is a body of people who belong to God and should never be subjected to putting the dictates of other humans above the word of God. There's a lot of people now putting the dictates of other people over the word of God. We cannot do that. The church should respectfully, truthfully and joyfully be subjected to Almighty God, who created his church and keeps it going with the anointing of his Spirit. And because of the power of his word, the church must live under the auspice of the word of God, not under the feelings of other humans. Ah, that's an amen right there. Because folks, we are a spiritual entity, not a social club. We do social things. That's why we're even creating hub for the youth and a place for the seniors. And we have many different groups. As you come on Leadership Day, you're going to see you will fit somewhere, because we have so much going on here, but we're not a social club. That is the weakest. Some of you actually think it's a social club. It's where I come on Sunday to meet my friends. That's good. But that's not what it's all about. We're a spiritual entity, so therefore we must first remain spiritual minded. Because when we're spiritual minded, everything works together for the good. You won't find yourself struggling. Paul, from this passage, the next passage is even more powerful coming next week. But I want to remind us, God will not share his glory. Therefore, the church that belongs to him and to him alone must live for the glory of his name. That's why we can't boast in the privileges that God has given us or set us apart. He set us apart to be his holy people. You're here because God selected you and his eyes are on you. Online, you're there because God has selected you and his eyes are on you. But never forsake the assembling of the saints, because that's how iron sharpens iron. That's how we grow to understand the power and presence of Almighty God. In many settings, people are delighted. You go in any secular setting, people are delighted to share with you who they know, how they know them. Those who know a superstar, a movie star, a football star, a baseball star, a soccer star, we're delighted to share the affiliation and the pride of being a part of that star's life. But likewise, we who are chosen by God and called by God should be proud to declare who we are because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm called, I'm chosen, I'm set apart, I'm created for his love. He died for me, he ascended to heaven, he's interceding for me, and he's awaiting me in heaven. Oh, no human can give me that privilege. No human can give me that strength and peace. Only God, Almighty God Himself. So our affiliation with the Savior must be true and real. Verse 6 says, this confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. If Christ is true, my relationship with Christ must be true. It's no longer just a mental assent to church. There must be an absolutely spiritual assent to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ confirms with his blood that we are his. When we're called by his great name and we believe in our hearts that he has called us to himself, then we need to live it out loud. The world is living out all its filth loudly. The church needs to live out the glory of God even more loudly. And the Bible confirms from Genesis to Revelation that Christ is the promised Son of God, the divine God who became the human Lord, fully God, fully man, who gave up his life to save humanity from their sins. So therefore, friends, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be ashamed of because Christ took our shame on the cross. He took fear and put it on the cross. He put death and damnation on the cross, and he offered us, who he chose, eternal life. Wow. He gave us his power and privilege to defeat evil powers. I see a lot of Christians weakening, stressed and weakening, struggling. Folks, I have been on this journey all my life. I've never seen a church so weak as we are today. Those of you that are new to Kingdom, I've grown up seeing saints who'd be lying on their back or on their bed or even on their deathbed. But one thing they declare, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We've created a system where we fear each other. I want to tell you, fear God and God alone. For he is able to keep you in perfect peace if your mind is set upon him. Christ confirms this to us so we should be convinced of the real unchanging truth. Every child of God, it says in 1 John 5, verse 4 to 8, every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We defeat the evil of the world. Mother Merle and I were reminiscing on stories of the days when I was on the evangelistic road worldwide and the many things we suffered, the devils and demons, powers and principalities that we had to contend against. I stood against five witches and held my ground until they bowed and convictingly said, "Your God is God." Folks, why do we fear the light and momentary things that come around us? Because people try to speak into our ear, oh, this is what, come on, listen to the voice of Almighty God. No man, no woman has power over your life, only Almighty God. Strip the devil of his strength. Strip the devil of his strength. The weakest Christian in here can stand up and face down powers and principality and say, in the name of Jesus, be thou removed. It's time we know who we are in Christ and God. Everything that happens, we blame God and we fall apart. Many people cannot come to church because they've got, my finger hurts. Talk to your finger and say, God is able to fix it. Be thankful for God's divine power that he's given to you as a gift. It's a gift God has given us. Not everybody has these privileges and powers that we have. We have the power. Others are falling apart under it, taking everything. Let me pause, by the way, and say, I've got to pause for a minute. We need to be filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit. The nurses would know this. We've been praying for our first responders, our police. I love our police departments. I honor them. We bless them when we can. I've done anything I can, and I'll do anything for them. Pastor Rob is a chaplain at the fire department. He does a lot with them. He's always there for them. But I'll tell you, being in the hospital on December 30th, we're going to start praying for our hospitals across Ontario. How many know what I'm talking about? It's a hot mess. And our nurses and those that are working, our RNs and RPNs, are doing everything, and our doctors are limited. And I laid in that hallway. There's probably a good another 20 or how many people, Erica? She couldn't count. Nurse Erica had come and met to the hospital with me. We couldn't count how many were in the hallway. Nobody was getting out of there. Finally, they said to me, "Well, we don't have anyone that's going to read your x-ray tonight. Do you want to stay till a doctor comes, or do you want some painkiller and go home?" Give me the painkiller. I'll go home. I didn't take it. I'm going to share it with the church. I took Tylenols, and I took a lot of Tylenols just to numb the pain. But here's the thing. Because I have a God and I have a church that was going to pray for me. But if every secular person going in there is being offered painkiller, do you wonder why we have a crisis on our hand? Because the whole system is broken and we're not praying wisely enough. But when the gifts of the Spirit in is, I'm like, God, if I wasn't in there, I wouldn't know exactly how things are going on in there. All of you nurses know this to be true. I'm on a vigilance now. They offered me everything under the sun. And I'm like, nope. What did they offer me? They offered me fentanyl. Oh, it's not the same as the one on the street, but because you're in so much pain, it's going to numb the pain. I said, don't put that. I'm a pastor. Don't put that in my body. I was already high on one thing. Don't put me on another. Hear me, friends. There's a crisis in our world, there's a crisis in our nation, there's a crisis in our church. We're going to have to be filled with the Spirit and stop the light and momentary moaning and groaning over light and momentary problems. Be thankful for God's power given to you as a gift. I'm able to stand here today because I'm in God's power. I'm not perfected, but I ain't lying there on no fentanyl or anything else, because I know my God, and I knew who would carry me through. When you're in pain, you will reach out for anything if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you know who you are in Christ and God, you can endure anything. We're going to be different in 2026 because we cannot stay the same. There's a world looking for us to be better. And all I'm sharing this to say, pray for our hospital system. Pray for our hospital system. Now, here's what Paul says to us in verse 7. Now, you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just waiting for some foolish thing to happen. We're waiting for the King of Glory to come back. And the spiritual gift that God has given us is able to enable us to live good, godly, healthy lives. These are enormous, all-encompassing gifts that are freely given. He grants us His grace, His peace, His favor. He gives us divine love and His ability to love others. Not everybody is lovable, but God's love helps you to love them. Come on now. Anybody know some people it's hard to love them? Oh, come on now. Come on. Let me see. Hey. But you say, Jesus, because you loved me, help me to love others. Our peace is the result of the fruit of God's favor on our life. And He gives us power to have peace with God and the ability to have peace with other people. I'm going to tell you, folks, the only lasting and empowering peace is that which Christ has given us. And so give thanks for the everlasting peace that Christ has given you. Do you realize that that's a superb gift? The everlasting peace. No one has the power to keep us strong but the Lord Jesus Christ. No one. Verse 8, he says, he will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. I wish I could stand up, shout, and preach today, because I got to tell you something. I'm wanting to stand before the Lord and have no blame that I did not cater to humans. I cater to Almighty God. And that's your mission. That's what you should purpose. It's not what people want from you. It's what does God require of you? The spiritual gifts God has given us enables us to live good, godly lives. Friends, when we are weak, God will give us strength. His strength is perfect. But I'm going to tell you where the struggle comes. We're in a day when we are running such a secularized church that we no longer have biblical principles that guide. And everyone falls apart or forms different factions if they don't like what happens. And forget, we have a biblical mandate to follow. If we fall apart, then the world doesn't know what truth is. There are principles that we're guided by. And those principles are for the next generation. I want you to get ready to be strong in the Lord, which means you need to be strong in the Word of God. He will keep you strong to the end. Why? Why? So that you will be what? Talk to me. Free from what? All blame. I'm not going to stand before God and be blamed for things that I ignored or accepted because I was too afraid of humans. And I didn't have the fear of God in my life. Somebody talk to me today. So when you are weak, God, give me strength to do what's right. Say it. God, give me strength to do what's right. Ask him again. God, give me strength to do what is right. Because friends, when we are powerless, when we were ungodly, when we were enemies of God, sinners without hope, Christ sent his grace, his goodness, his kindness. And what did he do? He rescues us. And he reminds us, I give you unmerited favor, and I give you my abundant love. So here it is. Be very thankful for the strength that God has given you in your life. Are you thankful for the strength God has given you? Do you know you have other friends that didn't make it? Do you have some friends that they can't even rise up? Do you have some friends that are wealthy but they can't even look up? Do you have friends that they've got everything going for them but they can't even find a moment of true joy and peace and they're just trying to buy something to make them feel? But look what God has given you. Strength, peace of mind. Verse 9, God will do this for he's faithful to do what he says and he has invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I, unorthodox, I'm invited into partnership with Jesus Christ? Who am I? You know what David said? Who am I, O God, that you're mindful of me? The Son of Man, that you would look at me? Ask yourself, who are you that God would give you such a privilege? But God confirms it and he continues to confirm his grace and his gifts and his favor upon your life. This partnership requires one thing, that you recognize he has bestowed this on you as a gift and you need to be faithful. God confirms the faith of a true believer, seals our decision to follow Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit. He'll pour out his spirit and grace upon every person who truly believes and trusts in him. And he desires for every person to become firmly established. This is the premise we will live by. We're going to be thankful to God that he chose us. So we're going to be faithful. All the baptismal candidates, you need to be out and ready as we go towards our baptismal service. Christ granted us his peace, his favor, his grace, and the ability to be in relationship with him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what a privilege it is? Do we really believe it's a privilege? So this 2026 year, would you purpose eradicate thanklessness and unthankfulness out of your life. Do you know why people grumble? Why do people grumble? Talk to me. Online, put it in the chat. Why do people grumble? Say it out there for me, Jillian. They're not contented, so they grumble. You know why they're not contented? Because they're not thankful. No matter what's going on, if you get up and I thank God, you change your tune. You get up and you thank God, you change your tune. I thank God that I've always reached out to my neighbors, because the day I was lying in the street on the floor, those of you late ones, black eyes, you should have come early to see it. From now on, we're going to do all the good things up front. Especially for the 11 o'clock congregation next week. We're going to have some good things up front. But I'm thankful that I could cry out and neighbors came and treated me like family. Why? Because when you don't grumble about the little things they do wrong, then they learn to love you too. If we stop grumbling about each other and be thankful, I'm thankful for you, thankful for who God, the gift God has in you. You know we're all different? What do we have? Name them. Oh, online, the folks inside don't know the name of the fingers. So maybe you could put it in there. I'm not going to even help them with it. They learned it in kindergarten, so let's see if they can remember it now. What is this? It, for those who didn't get it, index finger. Middle finger, see, it's right there. Whether you have one on it or not, it's still the ring finger. And the little pinky, little finger. If you cut one of these off, do you have a full hand? Which one is best to take out? Did somebody say the middle finger? Go ask someone who ended up accidentally losing their middle finger if they can hold a bottle. Because once you take one out, you have deformity. But once they're all together, you have uniformity. We're in 2026 going to be thankful to God for each other. What you don't like, thank God for something else in them that you like. Actually, I could use this. There are many things you don't like about pastors. Try and find the thing you like. Because we've got to be thankful, purpose to be more thankful. While the candidates are getting ready and they'll give me a signal and the worship team's coming, can I just tell you what AI said? There are a lot of Christians living in luck rather than understanding the grace of God. So let me close with this. I asked AI, what is luck? And this is AI straight up. It says, luck is happenstance with no true power or purpose to it. Luck is the occurrence of fortunate or unfortunate events beyond one's control, often seen as a mix of random chance, fate, and opportunity, where being in the right place or having favorable circumstances align coincidentally. Problem with Christians, if you live on luck, if it doesn't align coincidentally, you fall apart. But when you understand grace, it's what Christianity today says. Grace is God's paid for promises and favor bestowed upon those who he chooses. God's unmerited favor, kindness, and love freely given to undeserving people, enabling salvation, forgiveness, and spiritual life through Christ Jesus, not by human works. It's the divine provision that saves sinners, empowers believers, and demonstrates God's generous, loving character, often summarized as God's riches at Christ's expense to all who believe. So I want you to purpose to be more thankful in 2026. And as we go through the book of Corinthians, the theme is zeal for the Lord's house. If we don't have a zeal for God's house, we cannot expect the ungodly to want to come among us and find their peace with God. God has chosen many who have not come in among us because the hand is deformed. So get it, let's get it together. Would you just stand together, everyone? And right where you're standing, would you ask God to forgive you for the sins of your own flesh? Don't worry about my sins. I'll take care of mine. You take care of yours. Because sometimes when we say pray and ask God to forgive you, it's like, I have no sin. Oh, yes, you have sin. You just don't want to acknowledge it because it'll humble you. Online, ask God to forgive you for the sins of your flesh so that we will have healing, deliverance, and freedom in the house of God, that many will come and find the joy of the Lord to be their strength. Would you begin to pray right now? Father, I pray, O God, that every person would confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in their heart, God raised them from the dead, that they will be saved. But Lord, there are many who are saved, but they forget that you saved us by your grace when we believed, and we can't take credit for our salvation. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. Therefore, you declared to us in Ephesians 2:8, no one must boast about salvation. It is a gift given by God. No one can buy it. No one can sell it. No one can manipulate it. It is a gift from God. So, Lord, you saved us, called us to a holy life. And you did this not because we deserve it, but because it was your plan from the beginning of time to show us the grace of God through Christ Jesus. So, Lord God Almighty, as each person renders their heart before you on this January day, oh God, a day we set apart to worship you, I pray, oh God, that people will make worship a priority. If we cannot praise you with our lips, if we cannot raise our hearts and our hands and our lives before you, then what is our relationship with you? My God, many, oh God, have turned grumbling into their mode. But Father, we ask you to reverse it, that their grumbling will become thanksgiving, so that the church will grow in thankfulness, and many who are hungry and hurting and beaten and abased will come and find the peace of God and the strength of God among his holy people who are called according to his purpose. You called us by your divine purpose, and you have a design and a plan over every life. In this 2026 year, I decree over every person a new mindset, a mindset of spiritual entity, not of worldly concept, a mindset that puts the word of God above our own feelings and emotions, a mindset that says, I want all the gifts of God to be operating in my life. Do it upon your people, I pray, in Jesus' name.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.